in the Christmas story. Trying to understand, you know, either too much emphasis or not enough emphasis. You know, and in the Catholic Church, I think they wrongly teach, but they teach that almost overemphasize Mary to the point that she is almost greater than Jesus. And in fact, part of their teaching is that, you know, Mary was always forever a virgin, all right? That she had Jesus as her son, but she never had sexual relationships with another individual, so Jesus could not have ever had any brothers or sisters, which is not what the Bible says. But they said if Jesus is sinless, then Mary must have been sinless as well. Therefore, she could have not have been intimate with anyone else. That might have been sort of sinful. And so they lift Mary way up here on this pedestal. And we get into this kind of stuff. It's called Marianism. Anyone ever heard of Marianism? That's a real thing, right? Marianism, where excessive worship of Mary, Marian prayers, Marian theology, Marian shrines. They have names of places of worship like Mary, Queen of Heaven, Mary, Queen of the World, Our Lady of Guadalupe, Our Lady of Doctrine, Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, and on and on and on. And I think they seem to err in overemphasizing Mary and who she is in this drama that we call Christmas. But there's others who err on the other side that we minimize the role that she played. We sort of ignore her as a secondary figure and not so important, not so essential to everything that happened at Christmas, and almost to the point of ignoring her. And so we're the tension between overemphasizing Mary and underemphasizing Mary, but who exactly was she? Well, she was just a young lady. An angel of God came to tell that she would be carrying the Son of God. Alone, afraid, with incredible news that would change her life forever. She didn't see it coming, nor was she looking for it. Had no idea that this would be part of her future. And she was scared to death, and in her state of shock and unbelief, you know, what is it that she needed from God? What did she need from God to be that woman that God needed her to be, to bear His Son? What did she need from God to be able to deal with the uncertainties that were to follow? What did she need from God to just be able to get up the next day and face things that she could not even begin to conceive? What did she need for just the next day? But you know, I believe that the things that Mary needed in this very uncertain, very unusual, unimaginable circumstance was some of the same things that we need from God as well. When the unexpected, the unplanned for, the very traumatic, when it happens in our lives. And we're be looking at the story of Mary as it all begins in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "And in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel went to her and said, 'Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you.' And Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor. favor with God. You know, as I read through this passage, there are two words, a word that is my eyes are drawn to. It's repeated here. It's the word favor. You who are highly favored. You, Mary, who have found favored with God. You know, what does this word favored mean? You know, does that mean some ways that, you know, Mary was, of all the women in the area, that Mary was God's favorite? She was the special one that, you ever been in a classroom, and you know, you ever been have a teacher and they have their favorite student, and it wasn't you? You know, it was never me. You ever had, and it wasn't you, but the teacher had a favorite student that they liked above all the other students, and the student knew that they were the favorite student, and they had a teacher, you know, this kind of thing going on, you know, and how do you feel towards them? A little warm and fuzzies, huh? You know, it says that Mary was favored. It was that Mary was favored, that she was God's favorite, that somehow, some way, that she was so special that God picked her out of all the women just because of who she was. And or is it that she was favored in the sense that God was going to do her a favor? You know, Mary was from an unknown town in an insignificant place in the world, from a modest family. Didn't have a whole lot going on. No one really knew about her, her name, what she was about. You know, if God had not got involved with her life, she would have lived and died and passed from this earth, and we would have never heard anything about her. But maybe God wanted to do her a favor and allow her and choose her to be the mother of his son. But the Greek word for favor is charis, charis, and it means grace. And you see, if we read this with the word grace, we could read it, Mary, you who are highly graced, you who have found grace with God. God knew what would be happening in Mary's life, and she did not have any idea yet. But he wanted Mary to know that before he told her what he would need her to do, that she would have the grace that he would give her to do what needed to be done. That he was going to grace her with his grace and bestow upon her all that she would ever need to accomplish and be the mother of his son. You see, because there would be a lot of things against her as this began to unfold. You know, she was pledged to marry a young man named Joseph. And if she got married, she would face the possible reality that Joseph would leave her, that her parents would disown her, that her village would stone her, that she would be ostracized and kicked out and ridiculed and maybe even lose her life. And God knew these things that would be facing Mary. So God comes to Mary before he even tells her what her life would become. And he says to her, Mary, what I want you to know, I know these things will be taking place. I know there's some difficulties you're going to be facing and some heartache and pain that lie ahead of you. But before I let you know all of this that will be part of your life, I want you to know here up front that I am gracing you, that my grace will be sufficient for you, that whatever you face, whatever lies ahead of you, you will have what you need from me to be able to endure it and to walk through it. And
And at that moment in her life, Mary desperately needed to hear those words. You're highly favored. Mary, you're graced. She needed to know, be assured of God's grace, but she also needed to be assured of God's presence. Notice verse 28. It said, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, graced, the Lord is with you. You know, hear these words. It is not that the Lord is ahead of you or that the Lord is behind you or that the Lord is watching over you or that the Lord is beside you. He's saying that the Lord is with you. You know, there's a church word that we use to describe the all-encompassing presence of God. It's called omnipresence, right? All right, everybody say with me, omnipresence. Omnipresence. That means omni, all over, everywhere, present. I remember as a young boy sitting in church on a Sunday morning at the First Baptist Church, Campbellsville, Kentucky. Dr. J. Chester Badgett was the minister at that time. Years ago. All right, I was a little guy. Years ago. And he was preaching about omnipresence, presence of God. And, you know, as children, we think very literally, okay, very solidly. And he talked about God being everywhere all the time, always watching over you. All right, so I'm a little guy sitting in the pew. I said, okay, this God is watching over me. All right, if he's watching me, I want to see if I can catch him watching me. So the whole service, I'm sitting in the pew trying to look up really quick to maybe catch God looking down on me to see, maybe he wouldn't be quite quick enough. And I could say, oh, there's God. God's looking, you know. It's the omnipresence of God. It's like David wrote in Psalms, you know, if I go to the heights of heaven, he is there. If I go down, make my bed in the depths, he is there. The presence of God is like air. He's always there all around us. And we don't always think about it until we need him. And the Lord reminded Mary that she would not be going through this alone, that he would be right there with her. You know, there have been different times in my life when I needed to know that God was with me. Throughout my entire freshman plebe year at the academy, I needed to know the Lord was with me. When I left the security of the active duty army to walk into the very uncertain calling of the ministry, I needed to know that God was with me. Years ago, when we almost lost our son Kevin, because he sustained an electric shock, I desperately needed to know God was with me. When Temple Baptist Church called me to be your pastor over 20 years ago, I needed to know God was with me. On that night when I thought I'd lost my wife, I needed to know that God was with me. And now that I'm growing older and the number of years I have left on this earth are growing shorter, I need to know more and more that God is with me. And one day when I pass from this earth, I will then fully realize how much God has been with me. And I need to know, and you need to know, that whenever and wherever life happens, that God is with us. And God was with Mary, and she was getting ready to have God's son. And the son would grow up, and 33 years later, as he prepared to leave this earth, he whispered those words, "And I will never leave you nor forsake you." I will be with you always to the very end of the age. And Mary needed God's grace. Mary needed God's presence. But along with these things, she also needed to know and understand God's power. Verse 31. And as the angel speaks to her, the angel tells her, "And you'll be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." And how will this be, Mary asked the angel. "Since I am a virgin," the angel answered, "the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Let's put these in today's words. The angel tells Mary, "Mary, you're going to have a child, God's son." Mary to the angel, "How does this be? I'm a virgin." The angel said, "Hey, look at Elizabeth. She's well along in years. Even she's pregnant. Nothing is impossible with God." The angel had just said, "The Lord is with you." Now that same angel says to her that the Lord is with you, that nothing is impossible for this God, the Lord that is with you. So if nothing is impossible, that means everything becomes possible. Right? Everything. Because of God's power, everything is possible. And God can do what God wants to do when God wants to do it and where He wants to do it. Because God is powerful, He created everything out of nothing. Because God is powerful, man came from dust and woman came from bone. Because God is powerful, Noah floated. God is powerful, Babel fell. Because God is powerful, one man, Abraham, became an entire nation of God's people. Because God is powerful, Egypt let Israel go. Because God is powerful, a boy, David, slew a giant. Because God is all-powerful, Elijah rode to heaven. Jonah survived a fish. The temple was destroyed. The temple was rebuilt. Because God is powerful, the Old Testament gave way to the New Testament. Because God is powerful, the virgin would have God's son. Because God is all-powerful, one day that God's son would die for the sins of the world. Because God is all-powerful, He has placed the Temple Baptist Church here at this point in time in history to be used by Him to help Him change the world. And because God is all-powerful, we are able to sit in this space this morning and worship Him and glorify Him and praise Him for His Son that is to come. And that night, Mary learned something about the incredible power of God. And then, in this moment, she responds to everything that she had heard. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. See, after Mary had been exposed and knew the grace of God, after she had been assured about the presence of God, and after it was told her that she would be experiencing and have the power of God, she had what she needed to then to be the mother of the Son of God and do the will of God. And just like Mary, you do too.
You know, there's something in this world that needs to be done, and only you can do it. You know, our roles may not be like Mary's, and may not be, and our names may never be written down anywhere. You know, our roles are probably going to be a lot smaller, not a lot of fanfare, not a lot of hand clapping. But our roles are critical. Our roles are important. They're so important that God uniquely created you and placed you at this point in time in history and has given you the life that He's given you and the breath that is part of your body and your being. And He's given you the future that He's laid and set aside for you because there is something that He needs you to do. And we've only got a few short years to do it. And then because we know that God is with us, because He knows that He is all-powerful, and because He knows, we know that He has graced us, just like He has graced Mary. We, each one of us, is able to step into that unique role that God has given us to step into it and to live out of that and to be used by Him to save this world. The reason that He came at Christmas. And all that we have to do is give our life to the God-man who came to earth at Christmas to give His life to us. To say, Jesus, I give You my life. I give You my life. And then to walk out the doors and live the life He has given to you. Man, are you ready for Christmas? Are you ready? Yeah, we're ready. Dear God, man, this young woman, Mary, is an example for each of us and all of us. A young woman who knew of, experienced Your grace, that You had graced her and You've graced us. A young woman who knew of Your presence, and You have said You would never leave us nor forsake us. A young woman who realized Your power and who then said, may it be to me as You have said. And dear God, may it be to each one of us as You have said. Dear God, there's something this church, You've brought us here in this space that is yet to be done. Help us as we live out our roles individually, that together we would live out Your calling in community and save the world for You. Dear God, these things we pray for us. Guide us and take us and through this week and draw us back together to worship You next Sunday. In Jesus, the Christ child who came at Christmas, we pray all these things. Amen.